Basically, first question, can you introduce yourself and tell us more about your band?
Yeah, hello. I'm Stefan. I'm one of two singers of the band Contrast. And Contrast, yeah, we're from Vienna, Austria. And yeah, concerning our music, we just call it crossover. So we have so many different styles in it. It goes from, hip-hop, electronic to, yeah, metal. So, but it's basically hard music.
All right. Crossover, you're okay with that kind of, with this word, or it's like better that than nothing, or now in the business you need to have a sticker saying we are from that kind of, or it's just like heavy rock music with...
Yeah, it's heavy rock music. I mean, no, we don't... I don't think we are in need of any kind of sticker, but it's just if someone asks us what do we play, then we just say crossover, because it's a mixture of so many different styles and things. So
maybe another element for our reader who never heard of the band, who have a better understanding, right. What would be, I think, if you take all the band members, the common like bands or artists you enjoy all together?
I mean it's more, yeah, more the old ones, so like Sepultura, Cypress Hill, what else, of course, yeah, bands like Metallica and the classic ones, and then everyone has different kinds of music he or she listens to, so it really
goes. So yourself? Myself,
I can't stop listening to Depeche Mode, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's still a great band for me, but of course I'm listening to Sepultura. I like stuff like Plymo, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not an actual band anymore, but I'm really listening to small bands that no one else maybe has in his focus. So,
and on your way of singing, obviously, you have also yourself in your voice a wide variety, from clean voice to a little harsher tone. Is that natural or something you developed with experience, or?
I don't know. I really can't say. But I think it's a mixture of both. So I always have fun to imitate some people with my voice. So maybe it's more easier for me than for someone else, but of course it's developing.
So when in the studio you're trying the clean one, the clean version, or the harsh version, and you check what's the best for you and Agatha, or which
you're
trying a lot.
We really try a lot, and we also do this when we're recording an album. So I always want to have a clean one and a rough one. And see what happens. So it happens that we even check it out in the studio. Yeah.
All right. So if we come back to this baby, to the explosive period, now 3 years old, or 2 years, how this period from writing, recording, tour after that, what souvenir would you keep from that whole period?
Oh, that's
is there one thing that pops in your mind?
That's a good one.
Something happened in the studio or something?
Yeah, the one that comes to my mind right now is the Download Festival in Paris. Of course, we're in Paris and the memories are coming back when you land at the airport and stuff like that. There's one really big point. We really have the fun we had 10 years ago with the album Explosive. So we did a lot of touring with the album Time to Tango and Secondhand Wonderland, and you have to be careful that it doesn't get a routine, and so that you don't piss off one another. And we said, okay, we don't want to make any predictions, and we don't want to make any promises. We just want to bring out an album that everyone, at least in the band, likes, so everyone is satisfied with it. And so we took out some stress factors with this album, and this was maybe the most important factor, because when we did the first shows with this album, everyone was smiling on stage, and we really had fun like we had years ago, so that was great.
So with the success rising, your signature with Napalm, so you be able to touch a larger audience.
Yeah.
That give you the freedom to say, okay, we can go our own rhythm, and we don't have any financial pressure saying we have to release an album each 2 years or a year.
Yeah, but I have to be fair, Napalm is really great. A great label for us, and we didn't have any stress of them at any time. So, and no one ever said, okay, we want to have an album that goes more in this or more in that direction. So, they really.
Because the thing is that I suppose from that point of view, when they get the final tracks, you can say what they are, what we will listen. I mean, for coming from you, you have no idea where you will go.
No,
so it's always a surprise. It might be a good surprise, but can you also?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
You're not in a box.
We're not in a box, and this is maybe one point that we never want to be. So, they respect that a lot, and so we are really thankful for having a label like Napalm.
So obviously, your singer Agatha took a break. Because of a newborn child.
Baby break, yeah.
So you needed, I suppose, you had some gig schedule already. So you hired a temporary singer, Jules.
Yeah.
How did it go? What's your expectation with your singer coming back?
The first point is that Agatha should take her time. So we don't have a schedule behind that or whatever. So we have to be fair to our fans. We can't say Agatha will be back at this or that date. We don't want to have that. Jules came to us because Mike already knew her. Mike has a studio in Vienna, and they were working together. And Jules is studying at the Pop. We were sorting out our, let's say, options, and if we should take a break at all, or if we should try it with a singer for this period. And we just met at the rehearsal room with Jules, and started working on a few songs, and it got better and better. And
especially on your side, I mean, you have two singers. It makes sense for you to have a special chemistry with the other singer. Did you have any fears or that he could not fit? Because the other guys, they play guitar.
Of course. I think that was even more important for us than voice, or like she's doing some kind of rhythmic stuff and whatever, because these are things that you can learn how to put emphasis on this or that. And so you're absolutely right. We saw that this will work, and we did some kind of it wasn't a show for only invited people, but we did a small show to a test. Yeah, it was more a test, but we already knew it will work, and of course we were really, really happy because it worked out really great. And so it was only one gig where I had this kind of fear, but
So as you mentioned, from our French point of view, one of the big events was the Download Festival you performed. It's not the first very big festival you already entered. What can you tell us about the experience? Was it different from other experience? Was it, I don't know. What was the opportunity for you to kind of have a better, to present yourself to the maybe a wider audience?
Well, it wasn't that much different from other shows. I'm not sure. I think I have played about 700. Something is new. It doesn't matter. There's every time there is some aspect that is some kind of new. One aspect was it was really hot, so it was a really hot day. But that's great for summer festivals, and the audience was great. So we were not sure, of course. We are not a band that maybe metal or rock fans are expecting. So we came up with our Lederhosen, and so you never know what's happening.
It's part of the part of your identity too.
Yeah, of course, but you have to know it. Yeah, sure. That it's part of our identity. Yeah. And I suppose there were a lot of people that didn't know Contrast in Paris before. So
because you had what, half an hour, 45 minutes gig?
45 or 50. Yeah.
So did you kind of, because you know you knew it would have been a new audience, I would say. So some of the people may have heard of you or know you, but most of them maybe it was the first discovery. Did you have to kind of create a dedicated set list or try to emphasize on?
No, not especially. Because it was the second gig for Jules. Yeah. So we said okay, we won't change much in the set or in something in the way we are doing our shows, so we didn't change a lot there, and it worked out really, really good. So the audience was great.
Did you notice? I mean, it might be a stupid question, but so it's too bad I ask. Did you notice any differences in the way the audience behave if you're gigging in France or you're gigging in Australia or gigging in the Netherlands? Or
they were really open-minded. Yeah, so it was a very positive experience. I wouldn't say we have or had any bad experiences with audiences. So, but there are some regions where people are not not used to rock music that much than maybe in some other areas. It always depends where rock music has some kind of culture, or where there have been rock bands for decades, and then you get the impression that okay, the audience is more open-minded to things like that. But
I tried to find the answer, but I could not. Did you already tour outside Europe? Asia, somewhere?
No. We had offers, and we have offers. Maybe I think two times a year, but
you want to do it in the right condition, right?
That's the first point, and that's what we have learned from touring a lot with the album Secondhand Wonderland, that we have to be careful because it's exhausting. We are not a band of three, so we are a bigger band, and so you have to do a lot of coordination and things like that. And yeah, that's what I said. We put out some stress factors. So of course it would be nice to play there. And but we
is
could
that
play
part
there
of your rock star to do list? Saying okay, first we want to write our music, then we want to release our record, and then you see in a record shop you've got your own record. Then you tour in your country. Then you tour outside your country. In your to do list, maybe dream to do list, is there like playing in Japan or go in New York or whatever?
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't call it some kind of bucket list or dream list, but if it makes sense and there is no reason not to do it, but it has to make sense at all. Of course we love to play and we love to be on stage, but it's not only fun, so in the end it has to make sense.
And do you think that sometimes you introduce some kind of folkish element?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a strong point for you to go outside of Europe, or it could be a breaking point for something that could be difficult to export outside Europe?
I don't think it's will be difficult. People are curious, so I think it's more positive than negative. I'm not sure, but we don't force anyone to listen to our music, so and I don't think that this is, I mean, of course, language is always some kind of a barrier, but we like to sing in English, but most of the parts are in English, so I don't see any point there, and yeah. So we'll see, we're, at the moment we're discussing with a few festivals in the USA, so we'll see.
Yeah. All right. So around the Download Festival, you performed a few gigs in France?
Yeah.
Two others, if I can. So you come back now in a few weeks' time?
December,
so
yeah.
In December. Once again, if without saying there's a market plan, long term, your idea is also try to expand a little in the country, to the next country, maybe, I don't know, UK, France, Spain, or... And so you have in Paris, in Lyon, in
Strasbourg.
Yeah, the idea is still to get in touch with more audience.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So, of course, we have a plan, some kind of plan behind it. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, it has to make sense, and for us, it makes sense to come back in December to some club shows. And of course, we're looking forward to festivals next year in France. There is no reason not to do it. So the gigs we played were really great, the audience was great, and yeah.
Small audience, I suppose, or not so small, or but the one you had after around Download. The thing is that you download is a huge crowd, and suddenly you come back to a more normal level, I would say.
Yeah, of course.
And from my point of view, I think coming in France, you have to make the effort, I would say, to restart from
of course,
beginning and build up what you've done in Austria and Germany, but more German.
It's countries. The same in every country, I think.
And it's a healthy process, or you think it's the way to go from beginning to build up?
Yeah, that's the way how to do it. I think there is you have to work hard. So of course you have invitations for big festivals here and a big festival there, but. Yeah, it's just one show, but to show presence, and of course we wanna have more fans in France as well. So you have to do it from the bottom up. So
okay.
No.
Okay. Just talking a little about the future. What's in the pipes already? Do you have Agatha will come back when she will come back, ready to come back. But in parallel, I suppose you're working and the other band members on new songs, on new. Because it seems that your natural pace is a new album each 2-3 years. So we would reach this, area after Expositive. So do you have already songs already? Or do you have. What's your.
Yeah, we have already songs and. We have a lot of songs already recorded that didn't make it on Secondhand Wonderland or Explosive, and we always, when we start writing new songs, we always listening to the old material, because there are a lot of songs that are really great but just didn't fit on this album or for whatever reason. So. Or we're just picking out parts of songs that we have recorded, and we have really tons of material.
So you have a treasure chest?
Yeah. Some kind of that. And of course, new stuff as well. So we'll release new things in 2018. But we're not sure if we're gonna do it the way we did it before. So we have a few options and a few ideas.
Could be first an EP and then an album?
Yeah, whatever. I think music industry and media have changed a lot during the last 5, especially 10 years. So there are new ways, there are more creative ways, and we'll see. So we have a few options and we'll come out with new material in 2018. And yeah. We want to do a video as well, so this one will be released before, and
okay. One mystery from my point of view, you had a huge success in Netherlands.
Yeah.
At the time for Bomba and so on.
Yeah.
How do you explain, especially the Dutch audience? Did you have any rational explanation, or just?
There's one little explanation, and. They have a big radio station in the Netherlands, so, and I think it is by far the biggest there. And somehow a DJ of the station came up with an album of us, and he has a web blog as well, and he introduced his fans to the album, and he was blown away with the song Bomber, and he just started playing it. So it's more pop radio, pop rock radio, but of course not a radio where you would expect some of contrast. But the people loved it, so I can remember we were number one. Bomber was number one song of the most wished songs and MTV Netherlands, whatever.
At that time, you were not even signed on Napalm. You were still on your smaller label.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So suddenly your success is coming from a country you don't expect.
Yeah, yeah.
You could expect first Australia, maybe then.
Yeah, and then so other DJs and other radio stations jumped in and started playing the song because people wanted to hear the song, and we got mails from the Caribbean parts of the Netherlands because they played it there in the clubs, and it was really crazy. But the one aspect was also the video for Bomber. So the Dutch come to Austria for skiing, and they love this folk stuff and lederhosen stuff and whatever. So
they found the cliche they expected.
Yeah. And of course the music didn't fit the cliche. That's what they found interesting.
All right, good. Talking about the clips, so you reached like millions of views on most of your clips, Rock and Roll and everything. What's the creative process behind that? Is that an idea coming from you guys from the band, or is that you work with the artistic director who offers some ideas?
No, it's I think except the one video it's all coming from the band. So it's just sitting together, and of course you have a look at the lyrics, you have a look at the song itself. Is it some kind of single song? It depends on length, it depends on different other factors, but in the end we just say okay, we want to do it and we have an idea, so let's do it.
Okay. Let's say I have an idea to do a Rock and Roll kind of song.
Yeah.
How do I make this idea real? You see guys and say I want some socks to play, but the idea is good, but how do you make it real?
Yeah, it was a lot of work. And we had this idea, I think 2 years before we did the video then. So we were sitting together and said, okay, we had an idea that had something to do with socks. And yeah, we just came up with this idea again, and no one has ever done a video like that, so I've never seen that. And I know, I think everyone likes this sock puppet thing, everyone remembers from his childhood and whatever, and no one has ever done a rock metal song with having.
And for example, a clip like Propaganda, which is it's a cartoon, I would say.
Yeah.
You came with the scripts or the ideas, and after that, the company created it, or how did it? Because you have lots of ideas, weird ideas, I would say.
We are working most of the time with a video team that are, they did also the first video, and they did really most of them, and well, they're open to any idea, and they have to, of course they have their own ideas, and
it's a discussion,
it's a discussion, and we just try to get the most creative, most crazy or weird or whatever out of it.
Just the last two, three questions. What can you tell us about the rock metal scene in Austria? Because I was reading your Facebook and I was surprised to read. In the Facebook, it is written that you released your third album, Second Hand Wonderland, and you reached success, and you said an achievement not easily won due to lack of radio play for rock music.
Yeah.
And from our point of view, Austria is like Germany, so rock and metal is huge compared to France, where no one cares.
Yeah.
And it seems maybe it's a cliche we have, which is wrong in Austria.
And no, it's not wrong, but we have some kind of, yeah, let's call it media problem there.
You contrast or in general?
No, in general. There is one big radio station that covers the whole country, and I don't know its market share, but I think there are somewhere at 60% or whatever. And they also have an alternative channel, but it's really alternative, so we don't fit in this kind of music as well. Of course, they play rock music, but it's, yeah, it's alternative. So and the biggest station, as I already said, they don't play stuff like that. So I think I was really surprised because they played Disturbed, you know, the cover song. So that was a huge surprise. But this is by far the hardest you will ever hear there. So there
you,
is.
You have no advantage being yourself Austrian. There's no national.
No, no, advantage. Not at all, because. This is the second point, but yeah, it's getting political. the radio station pays a certain fee for playing music. You know, you have the similar instance.
Artistic rights or whatever.
Yeah, right. And but they don't pay for songs or artists, whatever. They just have a fixed sum they have to pay each year.
They deal a package.
Yeah. Right, so, and, well, then you have to explain why should they play a song of contrast when they can also play Robin Williams or whatever, and that's the problem, you know?
Okay. I thought there's no incentive to play national.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't.
Because in France you have like the 50%. It must be a thing, singing French.
Yeah.
So it can be from whatever, singing French. You don't have such thing in Russia, so there's no protection for local bands.
That's it, yeah. And of course, we have some smaller radios that play contrast and other rock metal bands, but they don't have that audience than the state-owned radios have.
All right. And on the other hand, maybe on the contrary, how do you how important for you because you're one of the artists, but to benefit from a very powerful driver like Napalm, because it's a rising huge coming big label, like trying to fight with nuclear blasts or big ones. They're Austrian, so I don't know if there was an incentive for them to get interested in you. How is that important to be pushed by such labels?
Well, of course, it's important to have the background of Napalm, but I'd say we're really behind that to do as much as possible our own.
But so how important do you think it was for them to sign you, the fact that you were Austrian? You didn't care, or it was important one way or the other for them to push their bands?
I'm not sure if it was important for them that they design an Austrian band, but what we've seen is that we were one of the first bands that were not that much in the metal sector, so a little bit more left and a little bit more right of it, and experimenting bands. And they started signing a few artists then, and they've really grown the last years, and I think this is something that was also important for them. So to have new influences,
more variety.
Yeah, more variety. Yeah. Of course, there are, you know, metal fans that were not really satisfied with that. But of course, in the end, for Napalm, they have to survive as well.
So they cannot sign only Austrian band and make no money.
And then they cannot sign only bands of one genre if it doesn't work in the end or whatever. But I think they really wanted to show variety and
good. And just one last thing, we have a little quiz for all our interviews. There's no right or wrong because it's your taste, so it's your musical taste. Favorite song ever? If there's one who pops in your mind right now. I know it's difficult, but I can go to a favorite album if your song is too difficult.
Favorite
It's difficult. Myself, I have to.
Oh man, yeah. I have one album. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, most favorite album, but
one of your favorite.
One that I enjoy listening again and again. I haven't listened to it, I think, for half a year or whatever, but it's it pops up.
And that's
Backstreet Primitive and Soulfly. Yeah.
All right. Least favorite song of your own song, Contrast. Is there a song you, if you don't play it, and if you don't sing it anymore?
Yeah, it's good. That's a good one. Least favorite song. Oh man, this is really hard.
There's not a song you're pissed at, but maybe you play too much or you just don't like it anymore. Or?
Yeah, it's maybe it's Fauna Sapiens.
All right.
Yeah, we just played it.
All right. We'll come back later on.
Yeah.
Imagine for the next record you have the choice of guest, dead or alive. Who would you choose?
You mean guest artists or?
Yeah, guest artists.
Yeah, well, as I said, Dave Gahan, Depeche Mode would be one of them. Dave Grohl.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Okay. And last thing, what was the spark maybe as a teenager or as a young boy that makes you want to have a musical career? Is there, I don't know, a clip, one artist you loved, one...
No, not really, but I think one band that really drove me some kind in that direction, but yeah, I'm sure that it was Iron Maiden. So
I had
all albums on, on the cassette, because the cassette recorder.
Especially the singer, you wanted the singer mix.
No, it wasn't Bruce Dickinson. But that's okay. I want to come back to the question before. Bruce Dickinson would be one of them.
All right. So at the beginning, you weren't especially affected by the position of singer.
No, not at all. So, well, I don't know, just got thrown in.
Okay.
You're the one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, merci beaucoup. Thanks a lot.